Well, I don't give up easy, but I confess I was fairly stumped here. Usually with young women I get along all too well. Formal chit-chat isn't my style. A little gallantry, a few jocularities to see if she will or she won't. A pinch on the buttocks and off we go. Either that or off I go. But I couldn't make anything of the Duchess Irma. She kept her head tilted high and looked past me, so composed and regal that I began to wonder, was she perhaps terrified out of her wits? But before I could take soundings on that, she rose, and I found myself escorting her into the antechamber, where great tables were laid out with silver plate and crystal, and a most scrumptious spread was served by flunkies, while a little orchestra struck up in the gallery overhead. I was sharp set, and while one of the Duchess's ladies looked after her, I laid into the ham and cold fowls, and chatted affably to the nobs and their ladies, who were making the most of the grub themselves, as the Germans always do. This kind of function normally bores me out of mind, and beyond the fact that the food was unusually excellent, and that the Duchess seemed intent on not being left alone with me for more than a moment at a time, I haven't any sharp recollection of it. I remember turning once in that gay company with its buzz of well-bred conversation, and catching her eyes fixed on me. She looked quickly away, and I thought, "My God, I'm marrying that woman tomorrow." My heart took a skip at the thought. She was unutterably lovely. And then it took a lurch as I remembered the appalling risk that I ran every moment I was in Strachan's, and wondered what the penalty might be for marrying the heir to the throne under false pretences. Death, certainly. I tried to smile politely at the eager, sycophantic faces around me and to listen to their incredible inanities of small talk, while my mind raced away looking for a way out, even though I knew it didn't exist. I probably drank a little more than I should have done, although I was pretty careful, but at any rate the desperate feeling passed. The goodwill of the Strachensians towards me was so evident and so fulsomely expressed that I suppose it overcame me and banished my fears. I found I could even talk to the Duchess without embarrassment, although it was obvious to me, if not to anyone else, that she didn't like me. She remained haughty and distant. But then she seemed to be the same to everyone, and they swallowed it and sucked up to her. Afterwards, old Schwerin and a couple of his ministerial colleagues, I forget their names, took me aside and discussed the next day's ceremony. They were fairly vague, as I remember, and gassed a good deal about the political advantage of the match and the popular satisfaction, and how it would have a good and stabilizing effect. "Her Grace is very young, of course," says old Schwerin. "Very young." He gave me rather a sad smile. "Your Highness is not so very much older, but your education at the great court and your upbringing have perhaps prepared you better for what lies before you both." "You little know, old son," thinks I. "It is a great responsibility for you, but you will bear it honourably." I murmured noble nothings, and he went on. "It is much to ask of two young folk. I often feel that such marriages of state would be the better of longer preparation. Perhaps I am a sentimentalist," says he with a senile smirk, "but it has always seemed to me that a courtship would not be out of place, even between royal personages. Love, after all, does not come in a day."
"Depends what you mean by love," thinks I. And one of the others says to Schwerin,
"You have a great heart, Adolf."
"I hope I have, I hope so. And your Highness, I know, has a great heart also. It will know how to understand our little Irma. She is very much like a daughter to us, you see."
He was going pink about the eyes by this time.
"And although she seems so serene and proud beyond her years, she is still very much a child."
Well, I could agree with him that she was an unusually arrogant little bitch for her age, but I kept a princely silence. He looked almost pleading.
"Your Highness," he said at last, "will be kind to our treasure.